This morning, in Christ's name, been a blessing to be here already this morning. We have looked into God's Word and been challenged. I appreciate the many thoughts that were given already this morning. This morning, we want to continue with the fruit of the Spirit. We're nearing the end of the list that we have in Galatians chapter 5. And turn with me there again. I've been reading these verses normally at the beginning of these messages to refresh our minds. Again, I especially like for us to keep in mind, remember the last verses of that chapter, just past the list of the fruits of the Spirit. We'll read that again as well. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And then we have these words, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Ready for the next to the last one. The Spirit fruit of meekness. Just trying to think a little bit how well this goes together with diligence and slothfulness and some of those things that we've been thinking about. I trust as we look at this spirit fruit of meekness, that we can be challenged in this as well. If you know your history, you will remember a man by the name of Booker T. Washington. How many of you children know that name? Read his story, heard about that. Okay, Booker T. Washington was a Negro boy. He was a slave when he was a slave boy when he was young. If I have my facts correct, he was a young boy with his mother on a plantation. I don't believe he ever knew who his father was. But at the age of 9, Booker and his mother were freed from slavery under President Lincoln. Well, Booker T. Washington wanted to learn. He had a real passion, a real desire to be able to learn. He wanted to be educated. He felt like all people should be able to learn. All people, no matter their race, no matter who they were, they should be able to learn and to be educated. The story goes that he did learn. He learned very well. He learned a lot of things, and he became very famous. In fact, so much so that at some point he was in charge of the Tuskegee Institute. I believe he was the president of that learning university. He was a very highly regarded man. People respected him very much. The years of slavery were long behind him, and he was now a well-known man and was very prestigious in his position. Well, one day, Booker took a walk, and he was out walking in an area of town that was quite upscale. It was where the rich people lived. As he was walking down the street, a wealthy lady came trotting out her door at a fairly fast pace and hollers at him and says, "Hey, would you like to earn a few dollars? I have some wood that I need you to come chop for me." Booker graciously went into this lady's house. He took off his coat and he chopped wood for this wealthy white lady. He did that. As he was leaving, as he was preparing to leave, one of this wealthy lady's servant girls recognized who he was. And he went, and she went to the mistress of the house and informed her, "Do you realize who this is?" Informed her who this man really was. Well, this lady was very mortified. She was very embarrassed. She was upset that she had not recognized who he was. Well, the next day, this lady went over to Booker's office and apologized very profusely to him for her actions. Here's what he said. This is what Booker said. "It is perfectly all right, madam. Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." That was his response to this lady. The question I have for us to consider this morning is, how do you find yourself responding in your life when you feel like you have been taken advantage of? How do I respond? How do we respond when we feel like we have been taken advantage of, or when you have not been recognized for who you are, for what you are doing, for what you have done? What is your response? What comes out of your spirit? What goes through your mind? What comes out of your spirit, or even out of your mouth? What comes forth? Is it a demonstration of meekness? You know what? It's okay. Sometimes I like doing manual labor. Sometimes I like doing things for a friend. You're my friend. Booker didn't have to chop that wood. He did not have to. Those days of slavery were over. But in this lady's mind, in her apparently biased mind, that wealthy lady failed to recognize who Booker was and basically required him to chop the wood for her. He did it gladly. He responded in a proper way. He responded in a meek way. He did it gladly. With meekness, he responded. Incidentally, she was quite astounded. This lady was quite astounded at his response. She was so astounded at his response that she and her wealth and in her some of her acquaintances' wealth, they were tremendous supporters, very big supporters of the Tuskegee University where Booker was a part of. So this morning, we want to look at the spirit fruit of meekness. And again, I would like to remind us that I said it before as we were looking at each of these individual ones. I'd like to remind us that it is just a slice, as I would like to call it. This one thing of meekness is just a slice of the fruit of the ones that we've been looking at. It's a multicolored fruit. It is one single fruit, but it has different parts to it, different slices to it, if we can put it that way. And I would also like to remind us that in thinking about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, that is who we are talking about. It is the same Spirit that Jesus was talking about before he left this earth when he said he will come and he will guide you into all truth. It is the same Spirit. And I think this morning we would recognize that that meekness is not a normal part of our spiritual soil. If you have found it to be that way for you, I'd like to hear about it. But meekness is not something that we naturally come by. Meekness is something that is supernaturally imposed on us brought to us through the Holy Spirit, especially the biblical concept of meekness. Now, I believe there are people who have more tendency than others to be meek in their spirit and their character. But let's be honest. Meekness is not the natural soil of our heart. It does not come natural for us to be meek. Webster's Dictionary defines meekness as this. Number one, I have two definitions here. Number one, it said this: it is enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Think about that. We can understand that. It's sort of like just putting up with what other people do to us. We take it and we don't retaliate or hold anything against them. But then number two, the second definition had a little different twist to it. It put it this way: it is a deficiency in spirit or courage. Really, it is a deficiency in spirit or courage. And in today's society, that is often the way it is seen. That is the way people, that is the way the people of the world, and maybe we even find ourselves viewing it that way at times. In today's society, that is often the way it is seen. When someone displays a meek spirit, we say, what a failure. I hope we don't say that. But what a failure. I mean, what in the world? Why doesn't he stand up for his rights? He's just getting pushed around. Why doesn't he stand on his own two feet? I sure wouldn't let someone treat me like that and let them get by with it. Well, that is the way the world sees a person of meekness. Society worships power. Society looks at people very highly that assert themselves. They push themselves forward. We like when people stand up and say, this is what I believe, this is what I deserve, I will not back down. Society almost worships that kind of people. We see it all around us today, especially in the political arena. We don't have to look far at all, and we see that. I'm afraid that many of us, I'm afraid sometimes that if we aren't careful, that we fall into that kind of ideology. It makes sense to us, and we forget that is not meekness. Meekness in today's society is frowned on. In fact, it's looked on as a weakness. So what about you this morning? How would you define meekness? Does someone who demonstrates meekness irritate you? Does it kind of get under your skin? Do you find that you have to convince yourself over and over to be more assertive? Do you have to stand up for your rights? If that is the case, maybe we need to find out and learn what meekness really is. In Scripture, we find out a different meaning than what our society puts out there. And I find that as you look at different professions, different whatever, even the sciences and arts, whatever, that there is a common, unquestionable authority in each one of those things, and they all have what I would call a fundamental doctrine or truth that points to the character of what it really is, what that science or art or you name it, what it really is. In other words, there are doctors, and then there are doctors who practice specific medicine. So you have heart doctors, you have doctors for your vision, so on and so forth. And each one of those has a specific doctrine, if you please, or truth or axiom that they follow, something that they follow, they base it on. That is how you know who they are. And so it is this morning in the Christian life. In the Christian life, there are specific doctrines, and the spirit fruit of meekness is one of those. And unless we learn what it means to be meek as the Bible dictates to us and that the Bible teaches us, unless we learn that, I believe we have every right to call into question our Christianity. we find it very easy to look at those things around us, like I was saying, those different professions, different arts, whatever. They all follow their specific things. But then when it comes to Christianity and perhaps our walk of faith and the Spirit's involvement in our lives, we kind of don't want to go there. And so I would like to suggest this morning that in order to find the true meaning for the word meekness, that we find it in Scripture. And I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 25, but just a background to this chapter. Several verses before verse 25, verses 20 through 24, Jesus was speaking to several of the cities. You'll notice he speaks specifically to these cities that he had been in, who hadn't responded to his miracles, and he was rebuking them. And then in verse 25 is where I want to begin and we want to focus especially on verse 29. Verse 25 says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.'" I would suggest you you underline or highlight those words, "and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Verse 29, Jesus says, "Come to me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." So I'm suggesting this morning that in order to find the proper definition of what it means to have the Spirit fruit of meekness, that we look to Jesus. Right there is our perfect example. Jesus is the definition of meekness. He is that. We find what it means. We find what it means to be meek in his life, the way he demonstrated it. My first point under the heading of Jesus being the definition of meekness is, meekness is strength under control. That is the first thing we want to look at. And so let's look back at Jesus' life. The foundation for this attitude of yieldedness and submission to God, which results in the harnessing of our strength in godly ways towards our fellow men, results in meekness. Jesus came down from heaven. Think about that. Jesus came down from heaven. I'm going to try to unfold this so we can understand what I'm trying to say here. But the true definition of meekness in my life is when I have personally come to the place where I have completely yielded myself to God. Jesus did that. Who was Jesus? He was God. Jesus did that. He came down. He had all power. He could have called 10,000s of angels. He could have done many things. He could have used his authority in so many ways to stand up for his rights. I believe Jesus understood his position as having something more than what the people had. He knew the power that was available to him, and yet he chose to say, "No, I will submit and surrender myself to the will of God." How often did he say that? I don't know, but many times in Scripture, Jesus said that, where he will submit himself to the will of God, "My Father, I will do only the things that he tells me to do." We read about it numerous times in the Gospels where he says that, I only do what my Father tells me. I don't do anything unless he tells me. But he surrendered himself to his Father's will. What about us this morning? We have the tendency to use our whatever. You can think about what it is in your life. We have the tendency to, maybe it's our, to use our position, if you please. Maybe it is the superior knowledge that we think we might have. Maybe it's the experience that we think we might have. Maybe it's the authority that we think we have. We use those things to gain the things that we want. We want to use those things to gain recognition. But true meekness understands that strength comes when I submit myself to God fully. Submit myself to God, the Father. We allow Him to work. We allow Him to work in the lives of people that maybe we are working with. I become meek in my position, and I don't look at myself incorrectly and say, but I deserve this. You'd better listen to me. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus demonstrated that very well to us. He had the power. He had it available to himself, and yet he chose to submit himself to his Father. There's another thought here that I like, and that is that he trusted himself to God the Father. Meekness is strength under control. When we learn to bring our strengths, our positions, whatever it may be, under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is strength in that. There is power in that. When we go wrong, so often, when we go wrong is when we feel like we deserve recognition. We deserve more respect, and we have a superior attitude over something. You know, my mind went to Moses, different accounts of Moses, but my mind went to the account where Moses' sister and brother came to him and said, "Who do you think you are? Aren't we just as important as you? God can use us." Well, Moses understood exactly what they were doing. And he could have used his superior position as the chosen leader at that time to retaliate. He could have done that, but he didn't. Scripture says he didn't. In fact, I think it's right there in that context where Scripture says that Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. Right there, at that moment, Moses chose to bring his power, his authority, under the submission, into submission to God. And so, meekness is strength under control. And he could have. He could have done something about it. He had the power to do it. He had the authority to do it. And every right in the human mind to do exactly what he felt like doing. But again, he chose to bring it into submission to God. He did not retaliate. I believe Moses had, he understood even then that God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." No, that was said later, but I believe Moses understood that is with God. When we purpose to submit our ways, we cease to fight for our rights. We learn to give place to others and their opinions. We learn to see ourselves as not important, but useful in God's kingdom. Meekness refrains from using our strength to get revenge or to be defensive. Meekness is the power to absorb adversity and criticism without lashing out. And Moses demonstrated that. We see that. And it is what Jesus demonstrated when he was being crucified. Jesus refused to retaliate. He could have. And often in the confrontations with the spiritual leaders in Israel, the confrontations, the times he was speaking to them, he didn't retaliate. He didn't respond in negative ways. Many times, I was impressed. I was looking at a number of the accounts, and how Jesus responded to the things that he faced. But many times he responded in ways that caused people to look at back at themselves. And finally, they had nothing to say. They didn't have anything to say. Jesus demonstrated to us the true definition of meekness. The second thing that we find to define meekness is meekness understands the real possibility of failure. Meekness understands the real possibility of failure. In Galatians 6, verse 1 is where I get this thought. Galatians 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." Then it says, "considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." The spirit of meekness. The second defining thing about meekness is that you and I understand there is a real possibility for us to fall into sin or a fault. And when we reach out to help someone who has fallen or has a fault, we first recognize the possibility of there being a beam in our own eyes. We first must take an inward look. Look at our own lives and open ourselves up to God in meekness and in humility and understand where we are. Understand that we can fail as well, and take care of those things. And then as we've done that, we can graciously and tenderly reach out and help individuals, help out that person and say, "come in meekness, lest I fall." I believe that there are times that we as brothers and sisters have to say the hard things to each other. I believe there are those times. Sometimes we have to. For many of us, it's easy to, at least for myself, it's easy to become harsh and cynical in those times. So many times we approach those things forgetting where we ourselves are, forgetting the beam that may be right here in my own eye, that beam that is not allowing me to see and act with grace to my brother and sister. Jesus brought this point out very clearly. I was reminded of the time when the religious men brought to Jesus the woman that was found to be in adultery, and Jesus' response was that whoever is without sin, start throwing the first stone. And we know what took place. Jesus invited those religious men to consider the beam that was in their own eye. And they considered it. They didn't like it. But meekness is not a part of who they were. They all left. They didn't take care of the beam in their own eye. And so there the woman was. Jesus forgave her sin. He restored her. And so meekness understands that we have the possibility of failure as well. And so in that understanding, we graciously walk with each other. "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Does this mean that we are never to approach an individual who needs encouragement or correction? Absolutely not. Scripture is very clear on the need to do that. We simply must make sure that our heart is right and the spirit of meekness is present, recognizing our own shortcomings and the possibility of failing ourselves. The third thing then is meekness has a teachable spirit. Meekness has a teachable spirit. I'm not sure how you find yourself this morning, but I'm sure that some of you have run into people that you just can't say anything to. We probably can think of individuals like that. I've experienced that. No matter what you say, they're right. It doesn't matter what kind of direction you try to give, what challenge you share. There is always a counter response to what you are saying. Or they just don't want to listen. Well, That is an unhandy kind of person. A person that is meek has a teachable spirit. A person that is meek is approachable. You can approach individuals that are meek. Or maybe you have experienced a person that gets angry when you give another point of view. Maybe you are that kind of person that gets angry when you feel like you've been crossed. Or maybe you've been contradicted and you rise up and you don't want to hear. James chapter 1, the book of James, we get the picture of that kind of person. Let's just turn to that. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Says this, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." We have a picture here of two kinds of people. A person who is quick to spout off at the mouth. Doesn't easily listen. He has the answers, is argumentative, and is wrathful. Or you have the kind of person that has brought himself under the control of God the Father, and he's led by the Spirit. And he knows that he must control, he must allow Jesus to help him control himself. He knows that there are other opinions out there. He's eager to learn. He knows, he understands that I don't have all the answers. I haven't learned everything. There may be another point of view that could better educate me in God's word or in other things. He's quick to be quiet and listen intently with a good attitude and a good spirit. He doesn't feel angry when he's been contradicted. Why? It's because he has given himself over to the care of God the Father. It doesn't mean that we are just gullible and we listen to whatever. Absolutely not. No, there's something about a discerning spirit in a meek person. In fact, it talks about wisdom. I didn't go into that in the message this morning, but wisdom and meekness are hand in hand. And so this morning, do I have a teachable spirit? Then it says in verse 21, "And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Without this kind of spirit, without a readiness to be quiet and listen, you know what? It's going to be difficult. It is difficult for us to receive the word of God, to be taught by it, to allow it to, the truth of it to penetrate my heart. Even when that truth hurts and when it cuts deep, do you act and react incorrectly when that happens? A meek person says, "I want to learn. God, what do you have to say to me in this situation, in this difficult relationship, in this unhandy thing, in this person that is just angry? What are you teaching me in this? How can I display your meekness in this situation?" Are you quick to hear? And is it because your goal is not yourself, but your goal is to learn the truth? Do you desire truth? A meek person really does desire truth. A meek person approaches God's word with an attitude of teachableness, desiring to learn. And so in closing this morning, thinking about the spirit fruit of meekness. Where am I at? Where are you and I at? Are there situations where we find it difficult to be meek? Do you find it easy to fret over situations, to defend yourself? Maybe you find it easy to use your strength, your wisdom, your position to rise up over others. Instead of in meekness, reaching out and walking with others and allowing them to walk with you, being transparent and open honest with who you are. Is that who I am? Is that who you are? Is it easy for you to be severe with those who have fallen into sin? Meekness dictates that we are honest about the beam that is in our own eye, so that we can truly help others when they have fallen, and so that they can help us when we fall, when we fail, when we have shortcomings. Is it easy for you to argue and get upset when you are questioned? Or do you listen, and are you teachable? Do you care about what the other person is saying? Do you have to defend yourself and your position? Or is it okay just to be quiet sometimes and grin? The servant of the Lord must not strive with man. So where do I find myself? Some questions that I had to ask myself in a serious way as I pondered these things. Where do you find yourself this morning with the spirit fruit of meekness? And I just want to remind us that Scripture teaches us that we can quench the Spirit. And maybe there are some ways that we are quenching the Spirit in this fruit. If you find yourself deficient in meekness, maybe we are quenching the Spirit. When we find ourselves lacking meekness or any of these other fruits, the Spirit of God will not force Himself on anyone, but He invites us to be a part of who He is and His power to develop for Him, to grow in Him. And so I trust this morning that we are not quenching the Spirit. In closing, I'd like to read from 1 Peter chapter 2, if you could just turn with me there. It just kind of wraps up the picture of these definitions, my thoughts this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. I feel like I just scratched the surface in this. Jesus is certainly our perfect example of meekness. He could have done so much more, and yet he chose to submit himself to his Father, and now he is asking us to do the same thing. In this passage here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 25, give us a rounded picture, I guess, of what I've been trying to say here. Begin reading in verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. In other words, if you did wrong and you got punished for it, then yes, you deserve it. Take it patiently. But if you get buffeted and you get punished or you get accused wrongly for something you didn't do, and you take it patiently, well, that is acceptable to God. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That, I believe, rounds this out. It gives us a good picture. Christ is our example. He is the definition of meekness. And I love what he says. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And so that is maybe the biggest challenge for you and I this morning in this whole thing of meekness, committing ourselves to him who judgeth righteously. God knows. I don't have to defend myself. God knows. And may we desire to commit ourselves more fully to him. Let's kneel for prayer.